The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
And there's no question that someday soon, in the next 1 to 3 years, they are going to introduce some sort of special currency or way of trading that'll be away from the dollar, which they've already been doing, but I think it'll become more formal. And it's going to involve gold in some way. That's the only reason for why they have been such aggressive purchases, particularly China and Russia and all.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, you know that voice, right? That's Peter Grandage. He joins me twice a month, every other week, just to pull back the veil on what is happening in the economy, the markets, really the world. Also in the spiritual, because, you know, this stuff can rob you of your hope, can fill you with fear. Right. And we have to put our trust in God. I love today's scripture reading, and I keep going back to it. I love these miracles of the gospel. And some people say, oh, well, you know, what Christ did was touch somebody's heart. Christ told people, today's reading, if you didn't attend Mass, it was about Christ multiplying 5 loaves and 2 fish. And what I was struck by is, people always say, oh, you know, people decided to share. You know, I don't think so. This is the God of the universe, the creator of the galaxies, right? He walks on water. He rose from the dead. Why can't he multiply a few loaves, right? A few fish. He can turn water to wine. He can take a coin out of a fish's mouth, right? Why not? Why not? And I think that's what we have to do. When you're in a tough situation, you might be right now, or you look at world events, or you look at your own bank account, you know, don't let despondency, don't let fear, don't let anxiety overwhelm you. Instead, put your faith in God. And trust him. And I guarantee he will not fail you. He will not fail you. I was at a church today, and the priest gave a homily. And in the homily, he talked about how he supports the Sisters of Charity. And he went in, I guess, I don't know, their pantry or whatever. He said, oh my gosh, sister, where do you get all the food? And they feed the poor. And the nun turned to him and says, God provides. Right? God provides. Of course he does. The priest said, of course he does. That's got to be your attitude. It's got to be my attitude. But I don't want to bring you down, but let me get you up to speed on what's going on. The stock market sank today. And a lot of people live and die by the market, right? You look at your 403B, your 401K. A lot of people are saying, oh, my gosh, what's going on? 3 major indices all losing more than 1% of their value. And the reason? Well, turmoil, fear that Iran will attack Israel, and that's going to cause a far larger war. And that's, you know, it's a result of what's going on right now in Gaza. And look, this gives me pause. I'm not worried about the markets. I'm worried about what this could portend for the future. Could we see an even larger conflict? Not between Iran and Israel, but I'm talking about other nations, all beginning in the Middle East. You could see the disruption to the world's oil supply. You could see the economic ripples from this for sure. But on the other hand, you know, my next guest, who will be joining me in a second, he predicted, or had suggested, I should even say, probably a year ago or maybe a little bit longer, gold would be a good investment. Gold has been going up in price now, I don't know for how long, for the past couple months. It's now in record territory as investors are starting to see what's coming down the line, and they're seeking a safe place to put their money. Treasuries are, well, they're also on the rise, since apparently government bonds are more secure in times of conflict. That makes sense, right? Far more than the stocks. But stocks are also being hit because of something the government says shouldn't be going on. You know what I'm talking about? You know that dirty word? Inflation. Yeah. Wall Street Journal reported that the consumer price index, that's a measure of goods and services, you know, what we're seeing right now is, you know, we're seeing that it rose, 3.5%, I think, in March from a year earlier. Journal was saying that it was a touch higher than economists had forecast and a pickup from February's 3.2%. So we're looking at so-called core prices, which exclude the volatile food and energy categories. It also rose more than expected on a monthly and annual basis. So, you know, strap on your seatbelt. Get ready. You know, we're going to see a number of things happen. But it's good news for the Federal Reserve, which had been planning to cut interest rates this year. In fact, the Journal was reporting that Wednesday report has been hotly anticipated because the Fed leaders had been willing to, I don't know, play down stronger than anticipated inflation readings, both in January and February. And they've looked at them as seasonal quirks, but we're looking at a third straight month of above expectation inflation. And you know, that just erodes the story. It could lead the feds to postpone the rate cuts until July or later. My next guest I want to get on now and ask him, could we see a rate increase? Isn't inflation spiraling out of control? Will you be paying more on your credit cards? Will you be paying more for everything as a result of inflation? Peter Grandage joins me today. You know him as the former Wall Street Whiz Kid. I hope you'll check him out. He has a company called Peter Grandage & Company, and he provides guidance on matters of finance. You can find him at petergrandage.com. I was talking to him off air. He does a podcast. I was going to jump on his podcast, and we'd have a chance to talk. He was going to flip the mics on me. But during the break, he says, you know, Drew, I'll be more than glad to keep that offer that I have available to those who are listening. If anyone makes a donation to Relevant Radio for $250 or more, I'll give him a free hour of time with me, a free hour of advice. And it's a very generous offer. You can check him out, as I said, petergrandage.com. Peter, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Good to be with you. But if we do that interview, you have to wear your Eagles jersey.
Oh, and you're wearing Giants, I assume,
yes,
right?
Yes, that'll be definitely be on.
And you're a Giant, not a Jet fan.
Well, I grew up a Jet fan, but then when in business, I started working with the New York Giants at the turn of the millennium, doing Bible study in chapel, and I was there for two Super Bowls. So I went from rooting against them to rooting for them. So
that's wild. Isn't that funny? That's great. Well, I had lived in Green Bay for a while, as well as Philadelphia area, and I heard that the NFL kickoff this coming fall is going to be a Friday night game down in Argentina, and it's going to be Packers versus Eagles. So it's going to be a hard one for me to root for, too, because I love both those teams. So it's going to be tough. And now broadcasting out of Illinois, and I broadcast in a lot of different cities across the nation. It's a tough one. Hey, Peter, your offer for $250, I hope I didn't speak out of school. I know we were talking during the break.
So we have, in the past, told your listeners if they donate $250 or more, and then they send us a copy of what Relevant Radio shows them that they made the donation, we arrange a time that's suitable, whether by Zoom or phone call, to speak to them. And it's sweat equity for me, but it's also, as you know, critical to continue Relevant Radio, especially if the way finances are going and the way, unfortunately, ungodly stuff has gripped all areas of the world, no more so than in the financial world. I think it's important that you give, Relevant Radio an opportunity to bring, hopefully, people like myself and others and sponsors I know that you have that, tie God and faith. If you don't, it's just you're going up against the biggest enemy in the universe. And I think it's real critical. And as you know, I made a decision over 20 years ago in a 40-year career to put my faith on my sleeve, both in business and in personal life. So I'll be glad to do that if they make that.
So petergrandage.com is probably the best way to connect to Peter if you want to go ahead and do that. You know, I'm expecting volatility in the days ahead. This whole situation with Iran vowing to strike Israel, whether it comes from Hezbollah or the Middle East, is a wreck right now. We've got issues with China. Russia's still at war with Ukraine. There's battles in Capitol Hill over funding. You predicted 3 years ago gold was going to outperform stocks. And when there's volatility, we know how skittish the market gets. Certainly it's come to pass. I don't know where gold is right now, $2,300 an ounce or something. I don't know what the latest number was, but what do you see right now? I mean, how do you read what's going on the global scene, how markets are now adjusting and where gold might go for those who might be interested?
Well, first of all, as we approach the end of 2021, I made a personal decision, which I shared, and I didn't suggest it was for everybody. In fact, most people would be inappropriate, but I felt that because of certain things that were happening in the world, most importantly, how countries were moving away from the United States, forming associations commonly known as BRICS and others, and huge accumulation by central banks of gold, that I actually felt that through 2024, and this is back at the end of 2021, gold could outperform both stocks and bonds, which really there was nobody else really thinking that, but for whatever reason, I did. It has. Today, it touched, believe it or not, as high as 2450 before correcting towards the end of the day around 2350. It's certainly, again, not here to tell people to run out and buy gold Monday morning, but it is part of a bigger picture, which I think is probably more important to discuss, Drew, and that is, as you know, I've taken the most, and I hate keep coming on here and being the same, you know, negative person, because I'm sure people don't like ending their week on a negative note, but I really believe that we've entered the worst ever social, political, and economic era for America. There's five key driving reasons for it. One, which you and I've been talking since I've known you, and that is just the ever-increasing amount of debt, both federal, state, local, consumer, and corporate, but mostly on federal debt, which now we have deficits increasing at the point where we're going to have $3 trillion budget deficits yearly, to the point where we're getting now, we're paying the interest. Forget about the principal. I don't think we'll ever see that in anybody's lifetime listening to this, but paying just the interest is going to come challenging. Then we have the retirement and aging issue. I've been through that with you. 65% of Americans working paycheck to paycheck, struggling more and more for a whole bunch of reasons, making it more difficult. At a time when the number three issue has now become a battle with number one, and that's the immigration issue. I'm not here to talk about who's good people, who's bad, but I do know this. Most of the people that are coming just with the shirts on their back. They're going to be for quite a period of time, and that's not a bad thing, but it's a factual thing, and they're going to be a liability, not an asset. And so the added cost of all of that, forgetting all the other social, political, and economic reasons, is now making that issue rival the number one issue. The fourth we just talked about, that's the BRIC nations. This one, Wall Street, is really missed badly. They have not comprehended and understood how critical it is that countries are forming together to trade not with us, but away from us, and to also use alternatives to our currency, which is currently the world reserve currency, but continues to lose more and more interest in the world, at a time when America itself is losing on the world front on all sorts of stages. And then fifth, finally, which this is the one that you would hope could fix any or all of those four that I just mentioned, yep, but it's the worst off, and that's the political paralysis we have now. Let's be honest. Democrats and Republicans cannot operate together in any real fashion in Washington right now. Haven't for a while, and I don't know how long it will be before that. But the additional issue to that now is they now have members within their own party who are differing from the middle. So the left is moving more left, and the right is moving more right. So to expect those groups at a time when things are becoming tougher and tougher to come together and put this right this ship, I just don't see it. And that's why I have coined it, and ever since the beginning of the year, saying that people need to build a financial arc. They need to concentrate on capital preservation now and not so much about trying to make capital appreciation, because things are just going to be that much tougher. And the last thing I'll just close on, it's been talked to you, I think, since the first time you interviewed me. Debt is the worst terrible four-letter word in our dictionary. There's not a positive verse in Scripture, and the reason God knew it is because how much trouble it has caused, and it's now brought many, both on a federal, state, local level, as well as consumers and corporates, into a very dangerous time frame.
Yeah, it's funny you said that. I ended up seeing your one of your emails. I'm on your email list, and you said it's time to start building your ark, right? Is that how you phrased it, or I hope you started building your ark?
Yeah, you know, Noah built an ark, and I'm sure they were laughing at him. It was Sunny when he started building the ship, going, what are you this for? What do you mean there's a flood coming and everything's going to be wiped out? But So I believe that same intentions now. I really believe past the next few weeks and months, if you're looking past this, if you start to invest for more than, say, this year and start looking out multiple years and all, I really think you have to be far more conservative than most people are at this point. And I'll tell you this much, Drew. I've been at this 40 years. The complacency both among investors and the professional community, given all the issues that are out there, has never been this high in my life. I've never seen people so complacent with so many potential problems down the road.
Yeah. So, you know, let's talk about the challenge for most Americans, and that's, of course, inflation, because it's costing Americans so much more. I see these graphics that come up all the time on how much everything from gum to gas in your tank to the eggs and bread that you buy and meat are costing you. you know, we've got worldwide volatility going on. Prices keep going up, even though we've been promised many times that this inflation thing is just a passing fad. We were promised initially it was transitory. We come to realize it wasn't. Is the Fed missing something in terms of inflation, and why can't they get out in front of it? You know, they're going to postpone probably the lowering the rates. Is there a possibility that we could see the Fed raise the rates again too?
That's highly unlikely at this point in time. What you got to remember is that the Federal Reserve, first of all, that word transitory, is probably a big sign in the Federal Reserve. Anybody that ever mentions that word again is fired.
Janet Yellen, by the way, took it back. She was pressed on an interview. You know, would you still say that it's transitory? Well, no. So she kind of admitted they got that one wrong. But go right ahead.
Drew, the real issue is this, and I think most people listening would agree it, and I'm not trying to sing to the choir, but I just think it's the honest truth.
Yeah.
I think inflation's a lot higher than what the government says it is.
Yeah.
Everybody I know says to me, Pete, I think things are costing me a lot more than 0.3% each month compared to what I just paid a year or two ago. Everything you look at across the board, whether it's food, energy, cars, rent, everything is up far more than the 2 or 3% that they claim has been going up each year. So I think that's the first issue to deal with. The second is the Federal Reserve is in a quagmire. If they raise rates to really drain inflation, when you have so much debt that we just spoke about and has to be keep paying, you're putting more and more people in a bind. Right now, a lot of people are just getting by paying, making mortgages and all that are adjustable and all. Have rates go up another percent or two, they won't even be able to pay their mortgages. But I'll tell you this, something that happened, if I may, Drew, this week that irked me more than probably something in the last 10 years. When the federal government now has decided to decide to pay off certain people's debts, in this case, certain student loans, they have opened in a Pandora's box. First of all, why should someone like me and probably a lot of other people listening that either worked hard and paid for their kids' college or they borrowed and paid it back as we're expected to and we're called to as Christians to pay it back, why should now someone who was not unfairly charged, charged different than those that paid it back, and also had the ability to get what they borrowed against, why should they be foregoed and not have to pay it back, in a sense, pay less than I did? And now don't forget, student loans are the single biggest asset on America's books. They make up 26% of the assets that we own. So when we renege or say that these people don't have to pay it back, now that we have to make up those taxes somewhere else. So who do? They tax me. So I pay twice for doing the right thing. And the problem that I think it's set up for, well, where do we stop? What happens when certain people may have problems with car loans or mortgages and all? And not to talk about is that potentially being done in order to influence on how they vote. I am not even going to spend much time on that. So I just think that was perhaps some of the worst news that occurred economically. And I think it set us up for much bigger difficulties down the road.
Well, yeah, my personal take on this, and we'll take a few calls. I only have Peter Granich for maybe a few more minutes. But if you want to get in, feel free to give me a quick ring at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And you can ask your question, share your view, or give us your insight. Feel free to join us at that number. You talk about national debt, and I think you're so right. And I just wonder how much the federal debt is hindering this country's ability to grow the economy. And I was reading something the other day about the administration wanting to spend more money. You talk about the student loan bailout. Well, that's one thing, but they want more stimulus. That's what the administration wants to do, and this is why we got into this type of trouble. We literally threw inflationary dollars that's gasoline that we let, and I don't know, unless we get an administration change, I don't know if they see it. I don't know where we're going to go. I don't know if we're going to get inflation under control. I don't know if we're going to get the economy to really grow.
I feel so good after all these years talking to you, how I've watched you grow and understand things. You're so right. It's probably the least talked about of the issues of the inflation. The very fact that we create these trillions of extra dollars out of thin air adds to the inflation problem. So it compounds the situation that we already have. And let's understand this. the Congressional Budget Office, probably the last bastion of somewhat bipartisanship left in Washington, has come out and said we're going to hit $54 trillion in as early as 7 years and no later than 10 years at the rate we're growing. Put a 5% interest rate on that, Drew. $2.5-3 trillion in interest expense. Best year we ever had as a government was a year before last. We took in $5.3 trillion in revenue. Over half the money is going to go pay interest expense. That's not even talking about paying for services or military or anything. So it's really heading to an area which can't be sustainable no matter how much you push it off and pay for it. And what's happening now and why the markets are finally reacting, people are starting to realize that some serious titans, both in the financial world and the business world, have openly now spoken about how bad this situation could be on the debt issue. And the longer it takes that they don't do anything about it, the worse the eventual payment's going to be. And, Drew, the sad part is it's going to be our children and our children's children that are going to pay a much more difficult price than me and you.
I think about the current administration sometimes. It frustrates me because they gaslight us. They totally lie.
Absolutely.
I mean, just totally lie. I heard the President Biden recently talking about when he took over office, you know, it's all Trump's fault that we have this, we have these woes, right? That the economy is so bad. Inflation for multiple months was what, like 1.4%? I mean, it was ridiculous. And you look where we are right now. I'm tired of being gaslighted. I think it's going to have an impact on the election. Life is one issue we talk about a lot, whether or not voters are going to vote for that. But I think the pocketbook is going to be the biggest driver out there for most Americans because I saw an article this morning. I don't know where I saw this one. I didn't get a chance to read it, but it talked about default rates for credit cards are at an all-time high right now.
Yep.
You know, the economics for the kitchen table and for the household, it's just brutal for so many Americans. Your thoughts on how that will play out? A lot can happen in the next 6 months or so before the election. But your thoughts on how that's going to shake out?
Well, I agree with you on the gaslighting, but the good news on that is many more people are not counting on the general media anymore to learn their news anymore like it was 10, 20, 30 years ago. So even though the media doesn't want to report that and point out these issues of how much we've been gaslighted, a lot of people are learning about it from more independent voices that are available, you know, through the internet and what have you. I do think it's an important thing that you brought up, and I think we haven't yet to see how the political race is going to play on the market yet. It's talked about, but people aren't, they still think there's time off there. A lot of things can happen. Health for both gentlemen, but one in particular, the gentleman that's there now, seems to get, as each week goes by, much more difficult to get by. And then, of course, if it gets too difficult in that particular incident, will there be some sort of change when they have their own convention, in a sense, to have him step aside and bring in somebody else? And I'll say this, too, because I understand, you know, the country is very divided. People are either on one side or the other. But if the man that's currently the Republican likely nominee or actually is going to be now is, if you think they hated him now and they've done things to stop him, whether justifiably or not, it's not going to end in November when he gets elected. I think it's only going to accelerate them to even a worse level that they were at. So I don't see any political decision being made in the November elections that help us get us better. I think things can only get worse.
All right, my guest today, Peter Grandis. Let me sneak a call or two in before we run out of time. Doug is in Tarpon Springs, Florida. Hey, Doug, good afternoon.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. Golly, I just left work. My head's been all day.
Good afternoon to you, Doug.
So, quick question for you guys, and Peter, definitely. I've got two daughters, and one is in high school and looking at college right now. The other one is a freshman in college. And she's taking loans. And I'm just curious how it's okay for the federal government to print money that they do not have and then loan that money to my daughter and start to charge her interest on money that they don't have. Like, that just does not seem right.
It's criminal.
That's all part of the issue of how, let's also not forget that in the 3 years that this current administration's been there, what took 37 years to get national debt, they managed to achieve it in 3 years. And let's also not forget that they had a congressional support of that, which was Republicans for a good part of it. So both sides are guilty of it. But again, that's been the biggest issue, and it's been something I've been talking with Drew from a few trillion dollars of debt all the way up to now. The scripture teaches us there's not a positive verse in all of the Bible about debt. There's more matters of finance about matters of finance in scripture than there is about heaven or hell. So obviously, debt was not a good thing as far as God the Creator thought. Yet, where we look throughout society on most levels, most people are living beyond their means, and they're managing to do that by incurring debt.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I just don't think how this is sustainable. I mean, the trillions that we're in debt right now and the money that we give to overseas, I mean, we've got major problems here at home.
It's not sustainable. At least that's the issue and why I believe we have to build an ark. That's my view. I'm certain there's people that will see it positive.
Sure.
But in my view, you're absolutely correct, and there has to be a price to pay for it.
Doug, thank you for your call. We share your pain. Edward's in Walnut, California. Edward, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is about the gold standard and, I guess, the U.S. dollar. I know it's being stayed, the stability of that.
Sure.
And how can we protect ourselves from that and, from that unknown? Because I think you said earlier in the show that, I think the world is going to the gold. And that's why all gold is being bought up. What's your comments on that?
All right. Thank you, Edward. So he's asking U.S. dollar, its stability or instability in gold.
Yeah, so our debt is so large, I don't think we could ever go back to what we knew as a gold standard. But the new countries that are forming that want to have something more than just a full faith and credit or whatever a currency may be are probably going to institute some sort of payment plan that also includes gold involved in it. That's the only reason why central banks have, especially the key ones that are making part of the BRIC nations, have been such huge buyers. There's just nothing else in my mind that can justify why they would want to accumulate so much. It's probably still a few years away from being operational, but the United States coming back with a gold standard, I just think our debt is too far gone. I'm not even talking about the unfunded liabilities that we have, including Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Drew, I don't know how they're going to pay that 5 or 10 years from now with the way the debt is increasing.
That's a scary thought. That's a whole other conversation for you and I. We'll have to get into that. I wanted to talk stagflation, a whole lot of other things, but I'm up against the clock here, Peter. If people want to get a hold of you or if they want to sign up for the insights, I know we get your email. I saw that one this morning or yesterday about the ARC. How do people sign up and what's the best way to follow you?
So there's three places. There's petergranich.com where there's a blog. I have a Twitter page, and I also have a YouTube channel. Best, the safest is the blog, but where I do most of my communicating, especially on markets because things are so fast and furious now, is through Twitter. And all those things, including the reports, can be found on the website for free. And if they decide that they would like an hour of counseling by donating, just make the donation and then send me an email with your receipt, and then we'll communicate and set up a time that works, either Zoom or phone call for both of us.
And again, thanks for that offer. Peter was saying, hey, if you donate $250 to Ron.
But I'm doing it under one condition.
Yeah.
When I interview you, you've got to wear your Eagles jersey.
Peter, we'll have to see about that. Hey, we'll catch up. I'm going to be on Peter's podcast. Looks like I'll be stopping by, and he's going to flip the mic, so we'll have a chance to do that. Peter, have a great weekend. Thank you for your time.
God bless you, and God bless Relevant Radio.
God bless you. That's Peter Grandage. It's bottom of the hour. You know how this works, right? I need to take a short pause. I will be right back on the other side. You'll like this next topic that we're going to talk about. I want your input too. Something that I'm sure you've seen, probably frustrated by. I'll break it all down for you right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Rosario, who's listening in New Mexico, for donating her 2014 Fiat 500. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
CBS News locked me out of the building and seized hundreds of pages of my reporting files, including confidential source information. One of our children recently asked me if I would go to jail, if we would lose our house, and if we would lose our family savings to protect my reporting sources. I wanted to answer that in this United States, where we say we value democracy and the role of a vibrant and free press, that it was impossible, but I could not offer that assurance.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was Catherine Herridge. You might be familiar with her voice. Used to work for Fox News, went over to CBS. Imagine being locked out of a building run by your employer for reporting the truth. She was testifying, actually saying that yesterday, and she's become a champion of journalistic integrity, no matter the cost. And it is costing her, too. She's going to be she'll be a great example for what it means to be a good journalist, to protect your sources and how far you're willing to go for all that. You know, if you listen to Relevant Radio, we're a Catholic network. That's the prism through which I view a lot of things when it comes to life and immigration and all the other moral issues of the day. But we're faithful to the magisterium. And you know that we have a certain understanding of the faith, a certain outlook on life in general. And that's to be expected. You know what you're probably going to get when you come here. You're not going to hear me talk about reproductive justice. You're not going to hear me championing for drag queen story hours for kindergartners. I mean, you're not going to hear me do that. That's what you get here. You get the good, the true, and the beautiful on this network. We try to give you a look at life through a moral lens. When you listen to the news networks, when you read newspapers, when you look at news sources, you know, what we've come to expect is that, at least this is what I was trained as a journalist, that you should keep your biases out. You should never disclose your political affiliation. You should, you know, report objectively. And you just want the truth and the facts. Let the viewer decide. That's no longer the case. You know, and we hear it now from reporters on both sides. You know, if you tune into Fox, you know, you're going to get a very conservative outlook. If you turn into MSNBC or CNN, clearly you're going to get a very liberal outlook. And in some unfortunate cases, and I'm sure many journalism professors who passed away are probably turning over in their graves right now. These are propaganda machines. That's what I call them all the time when I hear the lies, the gaslighting, the things that they omit from reporting. You know, the things that they misreport. You know, Catherine Herridge, as I said, she worked for some good organizations. And while she was at CBS, she started working on a story. And she picked up, you know, information from confidential sources that had national security implications and would have embarrassed the White House. So her managers called wind of it. They escorted her out of the building. They seized her materials and they demanded that she reveal her sources. So she testified before a House hearing yesterday, and she's under contempt of court right now. And if it doesn't get lifted right now because she's protecting her sources, she's being penalized $800 a day. Think about how quickly $800 a day can add up by the end of the month for you, right? So meanwhile, there is a business editor on NPR, and this is one of the reasons why I want to talk about this. Joseph Vasquez is going to be stopping by. This is the story that really got me, and I appreciate people who are true and want to stand for truth. NPR, and I don't know whether you listen to that network or not, it could be as liberal. It's a pretty liberal outlet, to be honest with you. It's just about as liberal as you can get. And when you read some of these stories, you'll understand why. He's made a confession over Substack. It's a site, the Free Press. And this guy's name's Yuri Berliner. And he said, you know, today those who listen to NPR or read its coverage online find something different. He says, the distilled worldview of a very small segment of the population. And he claims that the change started for this organization after Trump's election. And they went all in on the Russian collusion hoax. You know, they gave Adam Schiff tons of airtime. And he writes this. He says, who was the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee? Adam Schiff became NPR's guiding hand, its ever-present muse. By my count, NPR hosts interviewed Schiff 25 times about Trump and Russia. During many of those conversations, Schiff's alluded to purported evidence of collusion. The Schiff talking points have become the drumbeat of NPR news reports. Now, when it came out that the Russian collusion was just a bunch of baloney, did they do any mea culpa, any correction? Absolutely not. There's so much more to the story, and I want to bring Joseph Vasquez in to talk about it with us. We'll unpack some of the other things that have come to light. He's associate editor of the Media Research Center's Free Speech America. You can check them out at mrc.org. Great group. Joseph, thanks for your time today. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with Catherine. We can get to Yuri next, and a lot of other cases as well. But you know, Catherine Herridge worked at CBS. Fill me in on her story. Why was CBS so afraid that they locked everything down? They confiscated her stuff. What's up with CBS, which, you know, at one point in time was a pillar of journalism?
Well, I mean, yeah, a pillar of journalism, a pillar of leftist journalism, especially in today's culture.
Yeah.
I mean, what Catherine Herridge is doing, I mean, you know, she's one of the rare types of journalists that will actually follow the story to wherever it leads, regardless of the political implications of that. And what we at the Media Research Center have continually showed is that CBS News has an extreme left-wing bias. So here comes an honest reporter that's looking to break a story on something, whether it be pertaining to Hunter Biden or something else, and now CBS News is clamping down. Why? Because it embarrasses the Biden administration. I mean, that's their preferred political candidate, and you can guarantee that they're going to be shilling for the Biden administration going into the November election. So what happened? Herridge was getting a little too close. They had to shut her up somehow. And, you know, so it's not surprising to me that they would do something like this. But it just goes to reflect. You know, when we see the revelations with the Twitter files and the government back-channeling these communications with big tech platforms, I mean, the government is out there to control the narrative, to control the flow of information. And Herridge was a threat to that information control. So that's why they're coming after the way that they are. It's dystopian. It's a violation of the First Amendment, the right to free press. But then again, you know, we're watching our beloved Constitution get nullified in real time. So this is not a surprising development, but it is terrifying.
Yeah, no kidding. If you want to join us, the number here, 888-914-9149, I think it's CBS. My father broadcast for them for a period of time. My very first internship was with CBS. And I think of Edward R. Murrow, who did work for CBS for his entire broadcast journalism career, must be turning over in his grave in terms of what we're seeing there. Yeah, NPR, you know, you kind of expect this type of stuff. MSNBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, it's so biased, right? There's a seasoned veteran of NPR, this guy, Yuri Berliner, and he came out with a perspective, I think, as enlightening as it is kind of unsettling. You know, he went ahead and he spoke some truth about how how NPR found themselves adrift at sea, you know, when it came to Donald Trump. And, you know, they ended up giving Adam Schiff, to all of this airtime during the Russian investigation. And then even when that was over, you know, when the Mueller report unveiled, there was no concrete evidence of collusion. The story, like, you know, much of the fervor that fueled it quietly receded into the background, and they never did any correction on that. Hunter Biden's laptop, that whole saga to the handling of COVID-19. There are these patterns that are emerging of stories where you can see the bias in the media. How bad is NPR and all this? And what do you make of Yuri coming out and saying, hey, look, this is what happened?
Well, Yuri just pretty much just said the quiet part out loud. I mean, the moment I saw that apparently Adam Schiff was a regular at NPR, as far as, like, he was described as NPR's muse, I'm like, oh, great. So it's not national public radio. It's deep state radio.
Yep.
And financed by you, the taxpayer.
Yep.
You know, so it's insulting enough that NPR tries to come off as unbiased. You know, but it's even more insulting that the American people are stuck having to pay for this leftist propaganda on a regular basis. Like, goodness gracious.
So, Joseph, and why is he coming out now? Why did Yuri decide to say something now? Is he just frustrated over what he's saying, or what's his deal?
It's you know, it's the same issue with regards to Catherine Herridge. I mean, there are some honest reporters out there still left out there in the ether somewhere that are sick and fed up with this liberal hegemon in the media circles that only are intent on putting out one narrative. And it's just, it's insulting. It's insulting to American intelligence, you know, to the American people's intelligence, and they continue to do it with impunity. So, I mean, it's not surprising that he's saying what we at the Media Research Center have been saying all along. NPR is junk food news. That's what it is, coming from a left-wing bent, and that's all it will ever be. I remember David Folkenflik one of the NPR guys, the NPR media correspondent, he put out the chief executive statement after Yuri came out with his piece. And, you know, she was saying, of course, quote, "We're proud to stand behind the exceptional work that our desks and shows do to cover a wide range of challenging stories." Yeah. And I went after him on Twitter and I said, yeah, like I posted a screenshot of a story from 2022. But this is from NPR. This is the headline.
Yeah.
LGBTQ+ communities battle for the dinosaur emoji. Apparently, people using dinosaur emojis, they're stealing it from the LGBTQ community. Yeah, wow. That's a very challenging story.
Wow.
Financed by you, the taxpayer.
Wow. Unbelievable. Hey, Joseph, hold the thought. I got to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. If you want to get in, I only have a few minutes left today. I'll open the phones at 888-914-9149. A couple things we should look at. Are those on the left, I mean, how far can the pendulum swing, right? Are they awakening now over these issues? Are they saying, hey, we've gone way too far? This is not good for America. And are they beginning to sound off? And we can also just take a look at the mainstream media, you know, just in terms of who can we trust? Is there anyone out there, you know, or is it all biased? And how do you discern it all? My guest, as I said, Jonathan Vasquez, he's associate editor for Media Research Center's Free Speech America. Check them out at mrc.org.
Insight and analysis right here. It's the Drew Mariani Show. Relevant Radio.
Sponsor of the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
They are very much an insulated cadre of people who think they're right. And they have a hard time with people who are different.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I don't know if you recognize that voice. That was Juan Williams. I'm surprised that little clip that was run. I would like to have heard his whole conversation. He was fired by NPR more than a decade ago. He knows how intolerant they can be. I think he was a Laura Ingraham when he said that. He now is a contributor, I believe, for Fox News. And maybe people will say, well, they're on the other side of the aisle when it comes to these issues. And we could talk about that. Is there any agency out there that you know, is not biased? And maybe we should take the word bias out. Anyone who offers a more objective view of the news and all that's unfolding in your world. If you're just joining us, we're talking about couple different issues, and not just, you know, media bias. We talked about a journalist who's protecting her sources, testifying before court, Catherine Herridge, Yuri Berliner, seasoned veteran of NPR, basically calling NPR out for, you know, the way they report it, the way they silence certain issues, fail to report, the way they gave platform to falsehoods. And it's getting a lot of buzz. I don't know where you are on the issue, where you stand on this whole type of thing. But all I want is truth. I'm sorry. So give me some objective news sources. You know, the New York Times has long been heralded as, you know, one of America's great papers. I wouldn't put it down for someone's litter box right now. I'm joined by Joseph Vasquez, and he comes from Media Research Center. He's their associate editor there for their Free Speech America. And apparently, MRC basically went after NPR and New York Times Perfect Score. Tell us a little bit what happened. You were telling me in the break that both the New York Times and NPR had perfect scores. One, how did they get that, and who just downgraded them?
Well, that's according to NewsGuard, this website ratings firm that's being subsidized, again, by you, the taxpayer. They were given a $750,000 grant by the Department of Defense, wow, Defense to go after misinformation footprints. And what we at the Media Research Center have shown, what this group does is that it targets the advertisers of outlets that it considers to be fake news to pretty much drain them of their outlets, drain them of their advertising revenue. And what we at the Media Research Center have shown is that their rating system is heavily biased, yep, in favor of the left, and they continuously attack the right-leaning media. So when we would do these analyses, we would see that the New York Times was, including NPR, were given perfect 100 out of 100 scores, according to NewsGuard. According to them, they're flawless. So we've continuously, over the past 3 years, have hit NewsGuard for continuing to treat New York Times and NPR as flawless paragons of journalistic virtue. So now, what just happened a couple of days ago, this was funny, NewsGuard finally downgraded the New York Times and knocked off about 13 points or so. It gives them an 87 out of 100. And their reasoning now is because New York Times apparently, quote, no longer meets NewsGuard standards for handling the difference between news and opinion responsibly. Wow. Have you been living under a rock for the past 20 years?
Wow.
Or something? But NPR, perfect 100 score is still untouched. So my colleague, Nick Fondacaro, wrote another piece. It's on the Newsbusters main page. You can check it out. It's calling on NewsGuard. Okay, after Yuri came out with this piece criticizing NPR's liberal bias, will NewsGuard downgrade NPR's perfect score? Will it do so now? Wow. If it tries to maintain it, that it's an unbiased entity, which we all know that it isn't.
Yeah, okay.
But here's the challenge. So, because NewsGuard just opened up a can of worms, because if it's going to go after the New York Times, it now has to go after all of these other legacy outlets that it considers to be flawless.
Yeah, no kidding.
It is a complete joke.
Wow. Well, thanks for what you're doing. Let me grab a call or two for you before we run out of time. Jessica's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Hey, Jessica, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for having this topic. It's ridiculous. This is just ridiculous. I feel like I'm swimming in Jell-O or pudding or champagne, for that matter. Champagne would be nice. I like champagne, nonetheless. Okay, my question is, what do we do? What do we do?
That's a great question.
The cognitive dissonance of our culture, and I don't even know. I mean, it's pardon me to use a sort of vernacular word, it's safe to talk to the people that I know are in tune with this, but it's mind-blowing.
Yep.
I love Catherine Herridge. I think she's brilliant. She's a scholar. She's one of the few journalists. I have a friend who works for because I don't want to out her, a news organization in a major metropolitan area, and she is a conservative, and she watches it all.
Yeah.
And I anticipate her retirement because she has watched it, and she knows how untruthful and how, I don't know if the word is bought or what it is, but what do we do?
Yeah, it's good. Jessica, first of all, thanks for calling in. I thank God that I sit here today as opposed to doing journal. I was going to anchor TV news. That was the path I was going to deal with, and I'm glad I got out of it, to be honest with you, because I can speak objectively here without any of those types of restraints. But, you know, Jessica is the voice of a lot of people. You wonder what the best way to counter this is. Can we trust anything that the mainstream media is reporting to us, especially on the controversial social and political issues? And what do you do? I mean, how do you discern the truth, and where do you turn?
Well, can you trust the mainstream media? You just asked that question. My answer is a vehement no.
Yep.
You know, the strengths of the American people, and the media know this, is that their ability to be able to research information for themselves. I saw recently, I can't remember who, which journalist genius said this, but we wrote about it recently, I believe. But this person was encouraging Americans not to do your own research, you know, because you could be subject to disinformation that way. That is one of the most ridiculous newspeak terms I'm hearing that is just getting circulated like a virus. You know, this dystopian messaging. Oh, we need to protect against disinformation, misinformation. Well, here's the thing: if they can, their message is pretty much this. You don't need to think for yourself. We'll think for you. That's the message. But if the American people push back and say, no, we don't believe anything that you're saying, we're going to do our own research, you take away their power and their influence. The problem is because you have a lot of these mainstream outlets, you have websites like NewsGuard that is getting financed from the federal government. The only way that we're going to be able to push back against these hegemonies, and including this ridiculous thing that's happening with Ms. Herridge from CBS.
Yeah.
The only way that you're going to be able to do that is you can be able to make your voices heard. Now, you make your voices heard, pay attention to what's going on with Murphy v. Missouri before the Supreme Court with regarding to the government colluding with big tech to censor Americans.
Yeah.
You know, call your state. Your state attorneys general, your representatives. Let them know the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah,
the only way the left is very good at doing that. They've been doing that for years, and that's why their agenda has been rammed down the American people's throats. But real Americans that are suffering through this, you need to make your voices heard. Now is the time to do it, because once we lose our freedom of speech, freedom of press, this country's going down the tubes.
Amen to that. Hey, thank you for what you do there to defend those freedoms at MRC. Grateful for it. MRC.org. Hey, Joseph, thank you. Have a great weekend. I'm grateful for your time.
Thanks, Drew. Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. I'm up against the clock here. Just a moment left. Let me leave you with one final thought as well. You know, as a broadcaster, as a Catholic, ultimately striving to live my faith, you and I are chosen to live in this modern culture. And this moment, as he points out, you know, calls us to action. Do what you can. Let your elected officials know. Write to those editors, right? But above all, don't despair. I know it's easy to say, well, what can I do? Where can I turn? We need to pray. You need to engage. You know, I think it's also a reminder that politics, while fraught with challenges, it also holds the potential for profound good. And we can change the culture. You know, it depends who runs, who we put in. And our faith teaches us that, you know, we have a role in shaping the culture and bringing about a society that reflects the dignity of the human person, that proclaims truth, right? I'll leave you with this thought. George Washington, one of our great founding fathers, if you will, he said that religion and morality are indispensable supports in governance. We need truth, right? That's another one. We need God, we need moral people, and we need truth. Let's pray for it, and let's do what we can. Have a great weekend.